Sport on Highland, brought to you by Cash for Clubs at Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, the new loyalty scheme that rewards your club every time you shop online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's a very good evening and welcome along to another Score programme here tonight on Highland, broadcasting live from the mountaintop in Letterkenny. And it's another busy programme tonight, and it's another big weekend, of course, for Donegal sides on the GAA front. I'll be joined by former Donegal players, you could call them legends at this stage, Martin McHugh and Brendan Devaney. We'll be looking ahead to Donegal against Armagh in the Ulster semi-final. We'll also hear from Donegal manager Declan Boner. The Donegal County Hurlers play Tyrone in the Nicky Rackard Cup semi-final this coming Saturday. Mickey McCann's side, of course, are looking to beat their neighbours and progress back to the decider. We'll hear from the hurling manager coming up soon in the programme as well. And Donegal ladies boss Maxie Kern on their final game of the year. They have to play Waterford on Saturday. It's a bit of a dead rubber, but they're of course hoping to end the year on a high. But we're going to begin proceedings tonight and get things underway with a brand new section to the Score programme on a Thursday. It is called Ahead of the Game, and it's all about looking at the big weekend's fixtures and some of the top week's sporting stories as well.
Ahead of the Game with Leon Blanche in association with Boyle Sports.
So, new segment on the programme, Ahead of the Game with Leon Blanche of Boyle Sports. Leon, you're welcome to Highland Radio.
Thank you very much, Oisin, and good evening to you. How are you keeping?
I'm not too bad. Where are you based at this evening, Leon?
I'm back here in the house in Dublin, and we've been pretty much here since March. Nothing new, but thank God we've got sport. I think it keeps everybody going in these tough times, and a fantastic weekend of sport to look forward to.
Okay, Leon, we'll stick with soccer on the international front. Of course, we've got Ireland in action tonight against England and Ireland against Wales. It hasn't been, I suppose, what Stephen Kenny would hope it would be since he took over as manager. It's been a difficult ride. A lot of things have gone against Ireland. They're playing England tonight at Wembley. No crowds there. We haven't beaten England since Stuttgart in 1988. A lot of draws since then. I'm sure Stephen Kenny would take a draw tonight and maybe a couple of goals tonight and a few goals on Sunday as well.
Well, look, absolutely. I think it's been a difficult start for Stephen Kenny. That was heartbreak, losing to Slovakia on penalties. Obviously, if Ireland had won that game in normal time, which they should have done, they had the chances, they would have been playing against Northern Ireland tonight for a chance for the Euros. But they're up against England. They're massive underdogs. And it hasn't helped that Aaron Connolly off Brighton, Callum Robinson off West Bromwich Albion, they're both out of the squad for different reasons. We're not blessed with goals. We've only scored one goal in the five games that Stephen Kenny has been in charge. And the Republic of Ireland are as big as 8-1 to beat England tonight. So it just goes to show you the chances of them pulling off a victory, I think, are pretty slim and none. Unfortunately, from an Irish perspective, this game is a glamour friendly, but it doesn't give you much hope that we can score many goals. It'll be very interesting to see what type of shape Stephen Kenny goes for. I mean, England, on the other hand, they'll probably play what they would call a second string side, but they've got some big names in there. They've got the likes of Jack Grealish, how we would have liked him to be wearing the green shirt. Harry Maguire is playing, Mason Mount, Jadon Sancho, and Dominic Calvert-Lewin, who's been really good for Everton so far this season. We've got a solid team, but I wonder.
Hi, Leon, you just dropped out on us, unfortunately. I think the line's gone, so we'll try and get Leon back very, very soon, because we're going to have a discussion about the Masters as well and what's happening. But what we'll do in the meantime, as we try and establish the link once again, we'll turn our attention maybe to hurling. And as we know, there is, of course, action this coming Saturday, where the Donegal Hurlers have a big derby match against their neighbours, Tyrone. Both sides just one game away from reaching the Nicky Rackard Cup final. The Northwest Counties clash at the O'Donnell Park in Letterkenny. Donegal do, of course, have home advantage. Despite wins over Armagh and Longford, Donegal have had to deal with injuries to a number of their top players, and there's no change on that front this weekend, as Donegal manager Mickey McCann has been explaining to me this week.
Most of the same boys are really struggling for this week. You know, Davin is definitely gone, and Bernard Lafferty who'd need another week. Davin probably even struggle if he get to the final. Beacon Coulter's recovering okay, you know, but probably not in a place for a starting position. Hope to get some game time out of him, you know. So look, up front, they're three guaranteed starters on any normal day. So look, we're shy up there, but I suppose we played the second half against Armagh without them three boys, and the boys stepped up well, the boys that came in. So look, very shy up front, and a lot of boys will be getting a chance to get a debut in the semi-final, you know.
Yeah, and I suppose now's the time to shine for them young boys. And you see it in sport when some of the big names can't appear or maybe aren't involved in a game as they normally are. It's up to the others to stand tall. And it's a great opportunity for them, but you would just sort of hope that maybe the occasion doesn't get in the way of that, Mickey.
Yes, I suppose like Kevin Keighley and Conor O'Grady, you know, they've been training well now with us on the last three seasons, and well capable of competing with anybody in training, I've seen, and they can play at that standard, no problem. It's just if the occasion doesn't get them. But I think the two solid performances, Kevin had a good hour for us on against Armagh, and Conor Grady come off the bench in the second half and scored a couple of points. Look, to step up and do a job for us. And it's a different type of hurling at this time of year, you know, and it's not really a forwards time of year with the ground being soft and things a wee bit slower and a lot of rucks about there. But look, a lot will come down to heart and desire and work rate, Oisin, and look, we weren't missing none of that against Armagh. So if we can bring that again and just be a bit more clinical in front of the net with 19-20 wides, we put ourselves in good position to maybe hopefully try to get over Tyrone, you know.
Yeah, one other man that we didn't mention there was Danny Cullen. He's had his problem with injuries as well. What's the latest on Danny? Will he feature for you on Saturday?
Yes, Danny. Danny just put kind of nursing his injury, you know. But no, Danny should be okay for Saturday, you know, which is a big plus for us. We're just watching him at training. His knee probably be sore after training and stuff. So look, we're just taking it easy with Danny and caution with him, you know. But he should be okay for starting on Saturday.
Yeah. Given the fact that you're going to be missing quite a few of your key men, does it mean that you have to change your approach? Do you, Mickey?
Does I? Actually, look, we kind of had our championship six forward set out from the start of it, you know, just chatting to Gabriel and Jamesy, and there's big changes in that from then to now, you know, and maybe we'll have to sacrifice Jack O'Loughlin and push him up the field and stuff. But look, the six forwards will be fitting. Ashton, still, you still run McDermott, Jared Gilmore, you know, and Conor Grady, Kevin Keighley, and possibly Jack O'Loughlin under the mix here. So we're still a decent forward line. We're very reliant on the likes of Davin and Danny, but it'd be nice if these boys could step up and do a job for us and get over the line without them lads, you know, and it'd be a big bonus for them getting into the final and confidence up too for these young boys.
Yeah, you and Tyrone know each other very well, Mickey. So you days have played, of course, in recent years, and you won the league game early in the early part of the year, and you've had some big championship encounters as well. So is there anything that Tyrone can surprise you with at the weekend, or do you have a fair idea what they're going to bring to the table?
Yes, well, Tyrone's always a different team in championship. I've seen in those three or four seasons back, they put Donegal out of the competition, you know, and last year they went and beat a good Mayo team, or hot favourites. So look, they can raise their game for championship, and there's some serious players out there that need some watching, and Damien Casey and them, and a couple other forwards up there. So look, Damien Casey probably is good to hurler than and the Nicky Raggart. So, and it's a great outlet for them if they play them at the square or even on their puckouts. It gives them a great outlet. So, look, they're definitely going to be a big threat to us, especially with a few boys missing now, and they'll know that, and they'll see our guard down a bit. We have a few injuries, and they'll think that we're there for the taking. So, it's going to be a 50-50 game, Oisin, and I expect nothing on it but a 2 or 3 point either way, you know.
Yeah, and I suppose there's a huge carrot at the end of this. Back in the Nicky Raggart final, both sides, of course, have won the competition in the last number of years, but that's where you want to get back to, Mickey.
Yeah, I suppose the big prize at the end of any semi-final, Oisin, you know, is the final, and that just gives it that wee bit of more edge and a wee bit more nerves and nerve-wracking, you know. But the same was knockout against Armagh the last day, so and we raised up the plate, you know, for first day out against Longford. But if we get something the same, if the boys bring the same intensity and all to the Tyrone match and just get a wee bit more tonic in front of the post, that will not be far away, Oisin. But with a few boys missing, we're supposed to be favourites in this game, but I don't see that now myself. I think it's a real 50-50, you know.
That's Donegal manager Mickey McCann looking ahead to that match against Tyrone, of course. Nicky Rackard Cup semi-final. Huge day for both counties as they look to return to the final. Donegal won it in 2018. Tyrone last won it in 2014. Okay, we're going to go for a commercial break. When we come back, we'll be returning to our new feature on the programme with Lee on Blanche. I think we've got the gremlins out of the system. Back with more after these.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by MichaelMurphySports.ie. Now offering free next day delivery on orders over €85.
Ahead of the game with Leon Blanche in association with Boyle Sports.
And you're welcome back to The Score here. Time for our part two of our new feature. Technology is a great thing when it works, but when it doesn't, it sort of throws a spanner into the works, so it does. Ahead of the game, looking at some of the big games this weekend, and on the soccer front, we were, of course, discussing how the Republic of Ireland and England may go tonight. Leon, you're welcome back to the programme. We have you on the line again.
We do indeed, O'Shane, yeah. And hopefully we'll be all right now.
Yeah, hopefully so. Listen, Ireland got two games this week, the second against Wales. I suppose if we looked at it, of the two matches, the Wales one was probably the one that you would think that the Irish boys could get something out of.
Absolutely, and I thought they played exceptionally well last month at home against Wales. They should have beat Wales. They were the better side on the day, Ireland. They controlled possession. The one thing that is a massive positive, I think, in these early stages under Stephen Kenny is the side is trying to play football. They're trying to keep the ball. It's not just whack it long and hope for the best. And that'll take a bit of time. And with injuries and with retirements, I mean, look, we've lost McGoldrick, we've lost Connolly, and we've lost Callum Robinson. So, you know, in terms of the goals, we don't score a lot. And it'll be tight against Wales. We all remember Gareth Bale, how devastating he was against us the last time when we travelled over there. So we've got to keep an eye on him. He is the star player. He's getting games for Tottenham Hotspur now. He's already scored for Spurs, and he's just building up his fitness slowly but surely. So he hasn't played a lot of ball in the last year, but certainly he's a world-class player. But Ireland, on the other hand, it's just about getting that goal. And I just hope that they can nick a goal here against Wales. I'd actually take a draw. I think it would be a good result away from home with the problems we have with the lack of strikers. And I think then, obviously, the final game out of these three is at home to Bulgaria. I'm expecting us to beat Bulgaria at home. Even if we don't beat them convincingly by a couple of goals, I think Ireland are well capable of finishing off this Nations League campaign with a victory. If people think that we can beat Wales, they're a 3-1 chance. Me personally, I'd rather sit on the fence with this one. I think it'll be a share of the spoils. 2-1 is the price for the draw.
Okay, the big event this weekend is, of course, the Masters in Augusta. Normally played during the summer, but already they've had the weather to contend with Leon. A 3-hour delay earlier today. It was longer, actually, than 3 hours. But anyway, on the course, Paul Casey leads by 1 at 6 under. John Rahm already 2 behind at 4 under. Tiger Woods sits at 4 under. We're all going to be watching Rory McIlroy tonight as from 8:10 when he starts. It's huge, so it is, and I'm sure there's a lot of interest in this. Is it very difficult to pick a winner here?
Oh, absolutely, O'Shane. Look, I think it was 8 or 9 to 1 the field before a ball was hit this morning over in Augusta. But John Rahm, we all saw that fantastic hole in one. I think that's probably the best golf shot I have ever witnessed in my entire life watching a bit of golf. But Paul Casey, he's setting the early pace, 6 under par, as you rightly said. And Casey, he's a 16-1 chance at the minute. Rory McIlroy, look, I think everybody would love Rory to win a Masters. We all remember him leading for, what was it, 3.5 rounds, and then just the wheels came off. He's an 11-1 chance at the moment. But the one thing about John Rahm, I think pressure doesn't seem to get to the Spaniard. He's well able to hit all different types of shots. And the key thing for him and the likes of McIlroy, they hit the ball long. Nobody hits it longer than Bryson DeChambeau. I think he's 1 under or 2 under at the moment. So you certainly couldn't rule him out from having a big say in this Masters. But I just like the way John Rahm has started. 4 under par. 7-1 joint favourite at the moment with Dustin Johnson. McIlroy and Woods both at 11-1. 16-1 Casey. Look, it's going to be hard to pick the winner. But if I have to go with one right now, I'm going to stick with the Spaniard and go with John Rahm to win this year's US Masters.
Okay, let's move on then to the Gaelic Games world. There is, of course, a big Connacht final this week. Galway against Mayo, two sides that know each other very, very well. Both sides fighting it out to be the first side into the semi-final. How can you see this one go, Leon, or is it too tight to call, or could this be the year for Mayo?
I think there's a couple of determining factors here, and I think this is Galway's first championship game, and that's a big disadvantage to Pádraig Joyce and his team. Mayo, on the other hand, this is their third game, so they're battle-hardened. I was quite impressed with Mayo in terms of their performance against Roscommon last weekend. At no stage did I ever feel they were in danger of losing that game. Their ball management was exceptional. I think moving Aidan O'Shea in around the square, I think he looks revitalised. He's a big man. If the conditions are bad, there's nothing wrong with putting the ball in long. If you've got someone who can catch it out of thin air, call the mark and take a score. And I just think Mayo, Galway have something to prove after that humiliation in the league, but that was an entirely different side that will line out against Mayo on Sunday at 1:30. Pádraig Joyce, I like what he's been doing. They've been playing attacking football. They were very good before COVID-19, and Galway on their day can put up some high scores. It's 11-8 Galway. Some people might say too big, but I just think Mayo, having had those couple of games, -1, even money, I think Mayo will make it through to the semi-final. And you know what, Oisin? It could be their year. There's going to be no crowds. They'll be into the last four, and they're in there with as much as chance as any other side. And as you said, they'll be the first one into the semi-finals.
Ahead of the game with Leon Blanche in association with Boyle Sports.
And Leon, that leads us in to Donegal against Armagh. Donegal might have a say in what you've just spoke about, and it could be Mayo's year. Could it be Donegal's year already? They're tipped behind Dublin has been the second favourites. But listen, they still have to get through Ulster, and it's a really tough one against Armagh this weekend.
It is. But Donegal absolutely would come into that kind of two or three sides that I think could lift Sam Maguire this year. And they were very, very impressive in Ballybuffet the last time against Tyrone. Even giving away that goal, they dug deep. Michael Murphy was exceptional, even though he's playing a little bit deeper out the field. But he's such a brilliant GAA footballer, one of the best that's ever pulled on a GAA shirt. I've no doubt in my mind about that. Armagh, they've been promoted up to Division 1, so that is a boost for them. However, I think they've only won 2 or 3 championship games under McGeaney. So the pressure's on Armagh a little bit, even though they are the underdogs. Jamie Clark, he's an exceptional footballer. Give him space and he will do damage. But I just look at Donegal. They are really hot favourites. They're 4-point favourites in the handicap betting. And I just can see Donegal making it through to another Ulster final. And they're obviously going to play the winner of Down against Cavan. You would expect Donegal to be able to see off either Cavan or Down. No disrespect to them, but I just like this Donegal team. They're motoring along really, really nicely. Jamie Brennan, couple of goals last time out. Would he be the man to open the scoring in this game? I think Armagh will try and keep it tight at the start. The weather could be horrendous again, but I don't think that bothers Donegal. So for me, Donegal to make it through to another Ulster final.
Okay. Well, hopefully you're right, sir. Leon Blanche, many thanks for joining us, and we'll speak to you ahead of the game once again next Thursday evening.
All the best, Oisin.
Thanks, Leon. Leon Blanche there. Okay, we're going to stay on Donegal against Armagh. Two Donegal legends are joining us live on the programme. Brendan Devaney and Martin McHugh, a very good evening. Welcome along to the Score.
Yes, Oisin. How are you doing, Martin?
Evening, Oisin.
I'm sure you two guys were listening to Leon and his predictions on Donegal against Armagh. Obviously, Donegal got into favourites in this. But he did make the point, and I'll go to you maybe first, Brendan, that there's a lot of pressure on Armagh going into this game. Would you agree with that?
I suppose you can look at, you can dress anything up in different ways. Oisin, certainly, as he mentioned, there are 2 games in 6 years McGeaney has won. You know, he obviously came, you know, after his Kildare, you know, came so close all Ireland final week Kildare. We had some ding-dongs with him at them time. It's funny, there's been a lot of history between McGeaney and Donegal, between as a player from Kildare time and now in the Armagh. So, listen, they did what they needed to do in the first round. There was a, they did what they needed to do in the first round in terms of getting over the line against Derry. You know, people said they conceded 15 points and a lot of frees in the game, but it's first round Ulster. All you need to do is win and get through. That's all you need to do. So I think on that terms, Oisin, was job's done. You know, it was interesting to hear Oisin McConville say they had a free shot at Donegal after the game. You know, Armagh are a Division 1 team. They're going to have to make the breakthrough at some stage. McGeaney has been there, you know, 6 years. It's time for Armagh to stand up. So in many ways, they're coming now. They're a very dangerous animal for Donegal. I think they have a great midfield. They have a brilliant forward line. And I think they're going to cause Donegal all sorts of problems. We've seen it's going to be a wet day, Oisin, and it seems to be levelling up a lot of teams. If you think Donegal are favourites, which you'd have to say rightly so they are, you'd have to say conditions are going to level that up a small bit. So you'd say with the likes of, say, Clark and Grugan, in particular, the class of Clark, the ability of Grugan, you know, Ryan O'Neill has power, ability from freeze. And then the likes of Campbell, I've always been impressed with Stephen Campbell, direct, strong running. And actually, don't forget, we've coughed up a lot of goals in the league. We're coughing up a lot of goal chances. We did it against Tyrone as well. So certainly both teams will think they'll get the better of both defences once their forwards get the ball.
Well, that's a good enough wrap to start anyway with Brendan Devaney. Mark McHugh, will go to you. We were talking there about pressure on Armagh. How much pressure is there in Donegal with this three in a row? And how tricky a game do you feel this can be on Saturday?
Well, I've seen all championship games takes pressure, you know, and being able to cope with pressure is a big thing from the players' point of view and the management and everybody else's point of view. You know, Donegal have to look at it with the experience they have and everything else. It's just another match to get to where you want to be and just get out there and do a job professionally and get over the line. And that's the important thing, suppose, from both teams' point of view. But I think it's pressure. It depends on different players deal with it differently. Definitely now with no crowds at matches and everything else, it definitely does take a lot of pressure off the players, where, you know, you're not hanging about a dressing room and running them out to the toilet and everything else and running up on a table to get robed and everything else and changing your boots or one of the right boots on you and everything else. There's no time for that anymore. So it's just a matter of going out there and playing, and that is a difference. But like, both teams have played with no crowds there, so they're used to it anyway. So the weather will definitely have a big bearing on it, you know, and hopefully, I don't mind rain. I never minded rain, but hopefully it won't be one day, because I think one does destroy a game of Gaelic football.
Yeah. Well, as we know, Cork's win over Kerry served up a timely reminder that the championship is different, and if you don't perform, you won't get a second chance. Declan Bonner says complacency can't be a factor in their preparations or in game day.
All the championship, they're all dangerous. Every championship match at knockout stage, they're all dangerous, and you know, we saw what happened at the weekend too in relation to the Munster championship. So yeah, there's nothing granted in championship football. This time last week, if you were chatting to Peter Keane and probably the Kerry management, you would have said, yeah, they're probably had their homework done, they were ready for every scenario that was going to be thrown at them. But listen, knockout football, championship football, it does a lot of different and strange things. But you know, with the longer Cork stayed in that game, you were nearly waiting for something to happen, and you know, we didn't see probably the goal at the very, very end coming in. But you know, you can talk about systems and you can talk about everything and you can talk about the weather, but You just need to be at the pace of it every day you go out. And you know, we know ourselves, if we don't go to the levels that we're capable of, then we're a very average side. So we have to make sure, and we have to continue to try and get that extra. And that's training night in, night out. We've got to make sure that we're seeing progress and take that into the games. And you know, there's competition for places out there, so there can be no complacency doesn't come into it. And I'm very reluctant even to use that word, to be quite honest. But I think the lads have shown that, and you know, they've trained really well over the last 2 weeks.
Listen, Martin, was that a wake up call for the rest of the big teams? What happened last week with Cork and Kerry?
Yeah, well, suppose we take it. I felt I was at the Donegal game, the Donegal Kerry game, and I felt in the first half the way Kerry played, I thought that what they were doing was getting ready for Dublin. Now, and having watched them against Cork the last day, I think that they just, you know, they were their whole plan, their whole game plan and everything else was towards Dublin. And sometimes maybe in this county, this last couple of weeks, there's too much talk maybe about after the Tyrone game about Donegal playing Dublin, and Donegal's the team capable of playing Dublin. You know, Kerry found out, you know, that you have to just prepare for every match and get ready for it. And you know, listening to Declan there, that's what he's doing and everything else. But I think that looking at it, you know, the discipline is going to be very important. You know, I just got some of the stats, Oisin, from the Derry match, and I think as Brendan said there, Derry scored 15 points, and a lot of them were silly frees given away by Armagh. They're definitely work on that there. But the big thing for Armagh with the physical power is their turnovers. They had 20 turnovers in the match against Derry, and they scored 10 points out of them, and that's what really won the match for them. So they'll want to get a lot of bodies in that and that general area around the middle of the field. The other thing is, will they push up on Donegal's kickouts and get a lot of big men in that area and make Donegal go along with the kickouts, or are they going to do what they did with Derry, allow them to get the kickouts? I think that the team with the quality of Donegal, so that would be a mistake from Armagh's point of view. But tactically, there's a lot of things involved. But they definitely have got a very good goalkeeper in Blaine Hughes. I was at their match the last day, and he's definitely taken another level. You know, they struggled. McGinney did struggle a bit with getting a goalkeeper, but he's got one now, Oisín.
As we say, Donegal going for three in a row. What about Declan Bonner's tactics this season? And what tactics is it going to take, Brendan? Because you're a man that likes to talk about tactics and go in-depth in them. What's Declan Bonner's tactics going to be this coming weekend? And when Martin's on about physicality, can Donegal match the Armagh physicality as well?
Yeah, I think they can. I don't want to bore you too much with tactics there, Oisín. Maybe I go too in-depth. But it's always fascinating, Oisín. You know, you're on about mindset and tactics. And I think the modern teams now, they're so well coached and everything's so well drilled that the tactic of formation of it is set up that Donegal, everyone is playing their own version of counter-attack. They're trying to crowd their own defensive system as best they can. And as Martin says, whether they go all the way in the kickouts or not, is a strategy where you can leave yourself open to a long kick from the likes of Patton, we've seen that brought us back into the game against Tyrone. Tyrone was squeezing up this. Next thing, Patton hits that bomb into Morgan over to Langan. And really, in that moment, that was a jolt that put Donegal back into the game. So that's the danger when you have someone like Patton there about pushing up and kickouts. But tactically, Donegal, I think, since Declan's come in, they've been right on the money. I just think, Oisín, that we have to pack our defence. You know, we really need the likes of Hugh McFadden sitting in, sweeping, doing his roles, protecting around there, Brennan, particularly in the heart of our defence. And then inside, our ability to match up to people man-to-man, you know, it's big games required again from the likes of Steve McMenamin. You know, we have to keep going back to Neil McGee. I know he had a back spasm the last day. Hopefully he comes through. As we say, Paddy McGrath isn't going to make it, it looks like. So that's a loss to us. But tactically, when we get the ball, and again, we move it through certain players. And that was, I suppose, the big thing from the last day. Usually, particularly Ryan McHugh and Michael Murphy dictate so much of what we do. And the last day, you know, just between conditions and Murphy, particularly in the first half, didn't get into it. With so many other footballers stood up and took the game 2-1. So I think that gives Armagh a lot of question marks about Donegal's tactics, because Tyrone, you could say, maybe shut down a lot of what we did, particularly from the damage we did from the league game a couple of weeks previous. But then other players, particularly Langan and particularly like the big Hugh McFadden, really stepped up and took the game to Tyrone. So tactically, you know, it's all counter-attack. Both teams will be doing the same. You just think ability on the ball, and that bit of composure should lie with us.
Yeah. Well, as we know, Donegal reached the last four, beating Tyrone. Kieran Thompson and Michael Langan both had big performances. Declan Bonner says all the team will need a big performance this weekend if they are to return to another provincial showpiece.
I never see Donegal as a one-man or a two-man team. It's about the whole group. And, you know, on any given day, players can have an off day or players can be taken out of a game. So, you know, I have every faith in any of the lads that are on that park or lads coming off the bench. Will do a job on any given day. So to me, was it a surprise that Kieran Thompson or Michael Langan grabbed the headlines last night? No, it wasn't, because those guys are playing extremely well and are being doing it night in, night out at training and also for their clubs. And, you know, prior to lockdown, those guys were all playing extremely well and continue to do that. But on any given day, you know, a lot of things can happen and, you know, certain players stand up and get the limelight after. But to me, it's all about the group. It's all about the whole the squad. Every player coming in that group or coming on that pitch on Saturday, you know, we'll give it 100% and give it for the Donegal jersey.
So, Martin, we'll go back to you. Michael Langan and Kieran Thompson, big performances the last day. Obviously, we know that Donegal at times have been over-reliant on Michael Murphy. Are we now getting to a stage where we don't have to rely on Michael Murphy as much as we had to in the past?
Well, I think if you're going to achieve anything, that's the way it is. I think it was, remember the last time Donegal played Armagh, Jim McCurry, the assistant manager, said after the game that Donegal were just a one-man team. Now, he's been very, very quiet this week. He could be regretting having said that, you know, but I think that looking at it, we need everybody to perform. And I think, you know, when Brendan said it there, one player that maybe doesn't get the credit he deserves is Sean Patton. I mean, what a difference he's made. I mean, that we needed that score at that time badly. And, you know, the thinking and the ability of that kick, that the quality of that kick. Now, there are people on about, you know, the Tipperary player's great sideline ball, which was a fabulous score. And we're listening about Maurice Fitzgerald's point for a long, long, the great scores and everything else. But that kick out from Sean Patton, and the conditions and everything else is up with anything we've seen in Gaelic football, to land it where he did and everything else. And, you know, we look at it, suppose a wee bit of an unsung hero as well as the likes of Neil McGee. I know what he means to the team and everything else, and about his leadership qualities and everything else. So I think there's a lot of players we talk about. I mean, the last day it was Michael Langan and Kieran Thompson that stood up, and, you know, other players. The next day it'll be somebody different, and that's what you need, a squad of players. And you have a situation, Oisin, where we see Dublin, and why they're so hard to defeat and play against is they've got so many good players in the field, and you can't mark them all, and it's different players stands up every day. So if you want to get to that level, that's where Donegal have to get. If you to be competing at that level, you got to get there. Now Devaney's improving, and the other thing that definitely is happening is the bench. The Donegal bench is getting stronger as we go along, and that's making a difference. Players coming off the bench the last day made a big difference to the team. That's what you need going forward. So definitely it's improving, it's coming together. Conditions have a bearing on it, but we are used to the conditions up here, playing in the different type of conditions. Yeah. We have a fabulous record in Breffni Park, Oisin, which is, you know, I think it's a long time since we've been meeting there in Championship. We played Tyrone there last year. So you'd hope, you know, everything will go on the day.
Yeah. Is Patrick Mubberti key then to have in that piece you just mentioned about, Martin, if Donegal are going to evolve, do we need a 100% fit Patrick Mubberti?
Oh yeah, definitely. And, you know, with everything else, with his pace and power, and, you know, if you talk to, you know, I've been at a fair amount of games even this year. I mean, everybody's asking the question, is Patrick Mubberti going to be fit or not, you know? And the good news is that he's going to be able to play, as Declan Bonner said during the week, play whether he starts or not in the game, but he's a big plus. And I remember we played Armagh in a championship game up in Armagh, and after they put James Morgan on him that day, and after 2 minutes, a high ball came in over the top, and Patrick Mubberti won it and hammered the ball to the net and actually finished the game early that day. So he's a massive player to have. He's a great player to have coming off. And the good thing, if he comes off the bench or starting, the power he has and everything else. And we've got a lot of big physical power, especially around the middle of the field and that there. And you do need players inside that the ball sticks from. Yeah. And he definitely will add a lot to it, his yeah. pace and power.
Okay then, Brendan, back to you. The last two championship encounters, Donegal, of course, have won against Armagh. The tight one in 2014. And then we were comfortable enough in 2015. Now, both squads have evolved and changed since then. I think there's four in the Donegal team which started in the 2015, and possibly five in the Armagh team which are still starting for their respective counties. But could we end up seeing the type of game that we had in Croke Park, where there was just 1 point in it, and that's how tight and close it's going to be on Saturday afternoon in Cavan?
Yeah, Oisin, for sure. I mean, it's also championship, as we know. Armagh, people keep saying it, are a coming, they're a building team. If you look at them and look at their neighbours there in Monaghan, it looks like, you know, things could be dropping in Monaghan. They don't look like they're coming back with that lift of that buzz that you would expect from Monaghan. And Armagh now seem to be that team that's on the up in Ulster. And they're certainly going to come with a lot of dangers, Oisin. And again, going back to the opportunities of, I mean, our goal, you know, led a charmed life in that second half against Tyrone, let's be honest. Had a goal went in, We might be talking this show now this evening. So certainly on wet days, different things can happen. They have power and pace. So I think that they're very dangerous all around the board. But I think, Oisin, we are as well. And sorry, I'm only getting a small bit of a Martin, just in case I go across any of his points. I want to listen back because Martin always brings me up with good ideas for the game. But I'm just looking at our forward line. You know, the last day out, you know, there's far more Niall O'Donnell, as we know, very quiet game. I think there's a lot more even than Jamie Brennan. We've seen how brilliant he was in Ulster the last couple of seasons. And then, of course, you have Oisin Gallen, and then you have Patrick Mubberti. So you're again looking at this game coming down to the wire, and I think Armagh's best 15 will be on the pitch. I don't think they certainly don't have the squad that we have. And say Oisin Gallen doesn't start and Mubberti like the last day, I mean, should the two of them be injected into the game? That's why I think we have them different options, and maybe upping it from the likes of Niall O'Donnell and that, because where we've seen from the last day, and certainly the ability of a player to stand up on the pitch, we need other players to come through again now and get the buzz off that. So I think all over, particularly in that attacking aspect, because we're seeing subs being so vital in these games now, because there's such intensity and high levels in it. As the game opens up, there's such good subs coming in there, and that's certainly what Donegal has.
Yeah. Martin, we've seen the gulf between maybe sides in Division 1 and sides in Division 2. Roscommon coming up with Armagh. Look what Mayo done to Roscommon, and I suppose the difference of the grade of football there and the level of football that Mayo was playing compared to Roscommon on that day. Is there a different sort of golf between Donegal and Armagh, or could we see something similar? Because we don't have any real indicators, Martin, to go by this year, because there's only been a handful of games since football returned.
That's exactly it, Ash. You know, but suppose you say if Donegal were playing Roscommon, that, you know, you'd think that Donegal would be good enough to get over the line against them, or Kildare, them teams there. But these Ulster Championship games take on, you know, just the way it is. And I know it from playing myself. It didn't really matter. You know, it's a local derby. And Armagh will take, you know, the last time we talked about that game in Croke Park, they took a serious level of aggression to that match. They were just like Cork the last day, and they'll be trying to do the exact same thing. And Donegal have to be at that same level to match that there. And then quality comes out on top on that there. But I was at the Armagh Derry game this year, and, you know, and Derry, you know, picked out Rian O'Neill, the full forward, has been the big player that they had, and they put Crystal McCaig, their best player, on him, and he definitely, but Rian O'Neill, a fabulous footballer and a very good free taker, but, you know, that's the player Donegal will have to definitely target and put a player on, whether if he goes out the field as Paul Brennan picks him up, or will Neil McGee follow him out there when he's inside. He's very dangerous, you know, and his brother Oisin in the middle of the field. Two big players, very good players. Then they have, you know, they have players of the quality of Stephen Campbell, who's a real hard-working player, with Jamie Clark, who was back to himself the last three points, and they'll will start Jarlathog Burns in that midfield area, and they'll take Niall Gromley, who came on the last day and won three or four very important kickouts. So they've got a lot of quality, a lot of big men in that area. But you look at it from the point of view, Donegal need to target, I think, their full back line and try to put a lot of pressure on it. You know, they have Aidan Faulkner, who'll probably pick up Michael Murphy in there in the full back line. If he comes out of there, I think they're not as good in there when they take him out of that full back line. So I think Donegal will do that and try to target that area.
Okay, just briefly, boys, we might maybe touch on your Armagh history. Brendan, your history against Armagh hasn't been too good. They were always the side that you just couldn't get over, because you were involved with the team during that period for Donegal that was seen as possibly one of the best, most talented footballing teams ever in Donegal. But Armagh was the stumbling block all the time, Brendan.
Yeah, well, I suppose obviously they changed the landscape of football. Certainly in terms of, say, S and C, you know, tactics, and just the way they tried to intimidate and get in. Now, Ulster was always a tough place to play. It was always the toughest province, and still is, Oisin. But Armagh, you know, they were blessed with talent as well. This is the thing, Oisin. You can do all those tactics all you want. You have to have talent. And right across the board, they had a defence, midfield, attack. They're household names right around the pitch. And, of course, Ed McGinney, the current manager, their captain, was their talisman in many ways. But what they did, Oisin, he didn't really want to play against them. And I think in many ways, they made the Donegal of Jim's time, because Jim was around in those same times as me, and he probably seen the pressure that Armagh, the aura that they had, and in many ways Donegal had that aura. So if there's any good to be taken out of us losing those games, I think in many ways it did create McGuinness's philosophy to how he went about making Donegal the force that they are. So, you know, in that term, sorry, actually, one second. Sorry, phone's going off there. Oisin, in that regard, Oisin.
That's Kieran McGinney ringing you.
That's the McGinney ringing to give off, Oisin. I know. I'm out of the neighbour's house here. The Wi-Fi's out of the house. We're under pressure this evening, Oisin. But I'm just saying, what they did, I suppose, and around that time, Oisin, was funny at the time, Tyrone, people made us, was a better team. But we would have ding-dongs where we could always seem to beat Tyrone. But whatever it was in Armagh, particularly in Clonus, you know, I'd often say that if the All-Ireland final was played in Clonus, Armagh might have won another couple of Lamy. What they did, when it got that fast-playing pitch at Croke Park, I just think that Tyrone probably had that bit of extra pace and bit of ingenuity to go all the way, which he did. But from Armagh at that time, as I say, Oisin, we came so close to beating them at times. But, you know, we had the draw with them. I remember in the first round of the championship, we lost the replay heavily. We lost three Ulster finals to them in around that time. We beat them in 2007, which, funny enough, was kind of the last hurrah of Kiernan and that team. They put a huge effort in. They had the training camp. They had everything. They came up to Balbuffet. To be honest, we were probably lucky to beat them. You remember the one I had a shot later on, was hanging in under the bar, and Kevin Cass jumped on me, big Paul Herdy, and scared the life out of him. The ball ended up in the net. And it was such a strange outcome, that, because they never recovered from that. And that actually hurt my team. So in many ways, we put a wee bit of a nail in the coffin, and it was a small change to get out of it, because we lost to Tyrone in the semi-final after. So it seemed to be the way with us, Oshin. We would beat Tyrone a year, and we'd usually beat Armagh, and then that year we beat Armagh, we lost to Tyrone. So come up short, surely, Oshin. That was our tale with him.
Breffni Park was the venue where Armagh and Donegal met the championship in 1993. Is that right, Martin McHugh? You were marking Kieran McGeaney, or Kieran McGeaney was marking you? Who won the duel that day?
Kieran McGeaney was marking me the first day and destroyed me. Totally and utterly destroyed me. Got forwards the first time I ever came up against him, and unbelievable player, centre half back. So the second day I started there, we moved in full forward, and he didn't like going back in full back, but he followed me back full back. And I was remember early on in the game, we got a good start that him and John Duffy got two goals, and we ended up being 2-4-0 score up. But they went very close in beating us. They probably had us beaten in the draw match, but we did well to get a draw out of it. But that was in Breffni Park against them. So remember that. But I was just thinking of that famous game, watching there, that 2007. I always remember the story that day. Armagh were coming with a very big backroom team. That time they were way ahead of everybody else, with all S&C coaches and everything else with them, and they were in the small dressing room in McCool Park, and the famous Pa ended up in the middle of them in the dressing room, and they felt that Donegal planted this man there to sort them out. So things went wrong that day against them. But in 2002, they were the first team in Ulster to come forward, you know, with, they set high standards, in fairness to them. And I mean, we had a lot of success. You had 2002, 3, 5 and 8 won All-Irelands, and you know, we're listening about Mickey Hart's record, and he's been in 9 All-Ireland semi-finals. So that's how strong Ulster football was that time. Down came in 91 and set the standards, but definitely had our mad team set the standards at him, and they were, you know, they were unlucky. I mean, a lot of team, maybe like our own Donegal in 92, people thought they were actually too late. They were very late when they won the All-Ireland, but fair play to them, they stayed to even up to 2007 afterwards, and they definitely set very high standards for other teams to follow.
Yeah, you're on about Joe Kiernan's record and Mickey Hart's record. Brendan, what about Declan Boner's record as manager in Ulster, and in particular over the last number of seasons? It's a polished record, and he's looking to keep it polished and do the three in a row.
Yeah, I should have to say, you know, I was actually thinking about this coming down the road. It's a phenomenal time to be a Donegal player and under Declan, and to be a supporter like we all are. You know, it's been absolutely an amazing time. You think about it, we're going into, we've been in 8 of the last 9 finals in Ulster. We've won 5 of the last 10, 2-1 and 3, and Monaghan won another 2. So, you know, from that time where I looked on envious to Armagh, because they were absolutely a boss in Ulster. Donegal now have moved into that zone, and I think particularly under Declan, the biggest thing for me was under Rory Gallagher, we went into a real bad tactical shell. We weren't progressing our play at all, and there were some horrible games in there, you know, particularly the Ulster final 2016 with Tyrone. It was a shocker. And then later on that year, we played Dublin in a quarter final, and do you remember we were 4 points down? It was about four months to go, and Dublin had a man sent off, and it was all keep ball. So we were going down a very bad path in terms of our team trying to win. And Declan came in, and just with this breath of fresh air, and I always remember the first game down in we were away to Kerry, 2-14, 2-18 to 3-14 was the score. I was like, what just happened there? You know, so now don't get me wrong, Declan's very tactical and up. We see Donegal just in the likes of Tyrone going full blanket at times. Listen, it's all about the silverware. So what he's added to Donegal, I think he's added a freshness to the forward play, is that Donegal do sit, and when they get the ball, they do attack and they let their players play. And you can see the Donegal players in enjoying their football. And in the back of that, obviously going for 3 in a row, Ulsters is unbelievable. So I'd have to say, fantastic stuff for Declan. And, you know, if we can get over Armagh and win Ulster, who's to know?
Yeah, are you tipping then just finally, Brendan, Donegal to win on Saturday?
Yeah, and it's going to be tight, very tight. I would imagine, Ulster, it's going to come right down the wire.
Yeah. Between phones going off and bleepers in the background, Brendan, there's somebody looking for you, so there is. Thanks for joining us tonight, Brendan.
Sound nice.
Okay. It's a quieter house where you are, Mark McHugh. Are you tipping Donegal to win at the weekend as well?
A very busy man, that Brendan man. am I tipping Donegal to win the weekend? Yeah. Listen, I think that that Donegal, I think it's going to be very, very tight and very tough. And, but I think the one thing with Donegal, they'll be able to deal with being favourites and everything else. You know, I mean, Kerry were disappointed, maybe from their point of view, the way they dealt with it. But it's not an easy thing to do, players get into players' heads. But I think the difference will be the bench. I think Donegal's bench is better than Armagh, and I think that will make the difference. And hopefully on Saturday at about 4 o'clock, Oisín, that you were just saying, and there's Donegal in another Ulster final.
Okay, Martin, thanks for joining us. We look forward, of course, to commentary this coming Saturday live from Breffni Park in Cavan. It's Donegal against Armagh. It's the Ulster semi-final, and you'll not miss a thing here in Highland. We'll be live from just after the 1 o'clock news, and hopefully we'll be bringing you all the good news that Donegal will be returning to yet another Ulster Decider, a coverage in association with Gael Oil. Now, we're just going to play a snippet of Maxi Curran, the Donegal senior ladies manager. They, of course, are taking on Waterford on Saturday in the All-Ireland Series. The game at Cusick Park in Mullingar has no real significance, given that it's a dead rubber, as the championship is over for both counties. It could be the final senior fixture for a number of Donegal players as they look to end a difficult year with a win.
There's probably a number of girls that we may never see in a Donegal jersey again after the weekend, and with that in mind, you know, you want to go and put your best foot forward, and you hear often these stories about people leaving the jersey in a better place than they got it, and I think that's the only thing that's, you know, incumbent on this group, you know, whether when the season ends, that they're, you know, that they leave Donegal in as strong a place as they can heading for the 2021 campaign. And look, the future is bright for Donegal, but without a shadow of a doubt, but, you know, we do want to end this one on a high anyway.
That's Donegal ladies manager Maxi Curran looking to end the year on a high, and you can go to the sports section of our website highlandradio.com because there is a full interview there with Maxi ahead of that game this coming weekend. Now, in golf, just before we finish up, we'll give you the latest on the Masters. Rory McIlroy has been tipped by a lot of people to win the Masters for the first time. He's not due to go out on course to about 10 past 8. Two holes left to play of his first round. Paul Casey remains the leader. He is sitting at 7 under for his first round. Webb Simpson at 5 under. Then there's a host of players at 4 under, including last year's winner, Tiger Woods. He's a couple of holes left to play. Lee Westwood is in there as well. Louis Oosthuizen at 4 under, and Xander Schauffele. John Rahm, who's been tipped as a winner too, he's close at hand, sitting at 3 under with 1 to play, 4 off the leaders at the moment. As, of course, for the other Irish players, Shane Lowry is sitting at plus 2. Graham McDowell is at minus 1. And James Sugru, he gets up and running at 21 minutes past 8 Irish time. So he'll be getting underway in just over 20 minutes time. There is, of course, a number of soccer games taking place tonight as well. Crucial matches being played. European qualification. Northern Ireland looking to make the Euro finals. They've played 12 minutes off their game with Slovakia, and it's currently 0-0 in that tie at the moment. Serbia are also in action against Scotland, and they've, 11 minutes played of that game. That is scoreless. Coming up at 8 o'clock, Ireland, of course, are taking on Italy. And before we finish the show, we're just going to go back for another clip from Donegal manager Declan Bunner, who, of course, is fully understanding of the task ahead. It's Armagh on Sunday. Armagh, of course, have progressed in recent seasons back up Division 2, Division 1, and Declan fully understands that it's going to be a tough tie at Breffni Park this coming weekend.
We played Armagh a number of times over the 3 years I've been there, in between league and a couple of times McKenna Cup and one National League, and they've always been very, very close affairs. They have quality. They have quality all over the field. They've been together a good number of years now under Kieran McGinney, and I mean they're about for the last 5-6 years. I know some of the younger lads like O'Neill have come into it in the last couple of seasons, but you take Jimmy Clark and Oisín and Rian O'Neill and Stephen Campbell, Rory Gruden, they're all top class players. Would get their place in most teams in the country. So listen, we're definitely aware of the task that's ahead of us, but we've got to get our performance right, and if we do that, then we're in with a chance.
And the next time we hear from Declan, hopefully it'll be we'll be talking about Donegal heading back, of course, to another Ulster final. And that's just about it from the Score programme tonight. You can, of course, listen back to tonight's show if you missed any of it, including our new feature ahead of the game with Leon Blanch of Boyle Sports. It'll be available shortly after 8 o'clock. I'll be back with the next bulletin tomorrow morning after the 8:30 news. So until then, enjoy the rest of your Thursday evening. News and Sport Headlines is next.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny, where the Christmas Club is now open. Click and collect or shop online 24/7 at michaelmurphysports.ie.